Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and a Patriots Monday after an absolute beatdown of the Carolina Panthers, 42-13, the final yesterday. And that, Wiggy, is what a Mike Vrabel coached football team is supposed to look like. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, that to me was an unbelievable game all around, other than the first drive. The possession that the Carolina Panthers had after that, it was all New England, and everybody contributed in some way.
The most important part was that there were no turnovers, and I'm going to be interested to ask Mike Vrabel what changed in practice, if anything. What did they do different in practice, if anything, to ensure that that would happen? Because is that just against a Panthers defense that's not that good, or did they turn a corner to figure it out?
Well, that's going to be the argument, is that big whoop, it's the Carolina Panthers.
I love a good big whoop.
A big whoop. Big whoop.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The only bright spot for the Panthers was their head coach, Luke Svelte. Everything else, what a tight shirt he had.
Dave Canales, smoke show.
Right. Well, Shime, good to hear from you. You came up a lot yesterday at Lincoln.
Awesome.
And
thanks.
At Fenway Park, according to Ken Laird, that the press box was flummoxed by the news that Shime was a furry.
I mean, it has everybody buzzing in New England.
Right.
Who cares about that kind of
it
thing?
It wasn't just the Prosecco that was buzzing.
No,
that game was the first time in a very long time where I sat back and was like, oh, this is relaxing. It's an enjoyable watch. There was no doubt.
Chime, take a victory lap. Great performance by your boy yesterday.
Another very efficient performance. He didn't have to be flashy. It didn't have to be special. He was just efficient again. And I think that's kind of the thing with him, right, is in those games, like the two wins, he has been almost perfectly efficient, completing an insane percentage of his passes. I mean, he's completing like 75% of his passes this year, which is a number I didn't think he'd come anywhere close to after seeing him in 10 games last year. Like, I'm very happy with the way he performed yesterday. I think he was very smart with the ball, really didn't make any bad decisions. And, like, you know, every quarterback on the planet is going to make one or two kind of like crappy throws into the ground, and he had two of those. I mean, he only had three incompletions. Great job by him yesterday.
I'm not going to buy into the Carolina Panthers thing, oh, you played the Panthers, because I watched plenty of football yesterday, and there's no team, I don't care, in the AFC or the NFC that stands out like, okay, this is the team. Week in and week out, it seems like anybody can get beat. I don't care who you are. The only teams that I look at and I go, okay, they have shown like they've been down and they were able to come back and win is Philadelphia, and Buffalo has shown like they're a team that can, even though they played a close game in New Orleans, they won. But other than that, I'm not concerned with any other team in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, you get one this week. So you get Buffalo is 4-0, and certainly, but you're right. I mean, I watching that Chiefs game yesterday, certainly Patrick Mahomes looked more like Patrick Mahomes than he has, but
Baltimore didn't look like they were, my Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah, I know.
Their defense sucked.
It's so bad.
Their offense may get worse and worse.
Right. I want to give one little credit, too, because Drake May, historic. Yesterday, he became the first player under the age of 24 with at least two touchdown passes, a completion percentage of 75 or higher, in three consecutive games with a minimum of 15 pass attempts per game.
That's the franchise right there.
I mean,
that's your franchise.
I thought Josh pretty good game by the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Sean, what did you make of the play calling yesterday?
It was really good at times and then pretty good at other times. Like, it was a solid day for Josh McDaniels, I thought.
Okay.
Especially that one drive. What was that? That first actual touchdown drive that they had. I thought that was masterful play calling, is the way I would say it.
You like the jet sweep and then the fake jet sweeps and all that?
I thought, like, Wiggy, on that drive, you finally saw movement, like you saw motion before the snap, and then, shocker, in the red zone, you boot Drake May. What a revelation. He gives him an option to throw or take it in himself, and he took it in himself for an easy touchdown. Like, that to me was exactly how you should run this Patriots offense.
I also don't think that Shime's giving Drake May enough credit, because you just bring up in the last 3 weeks, the two wins. Like, you got to look at him against Pittsburgh. His completion percentage was pretty good then, too. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Pittsburgh's defense yesterday in Dublin. They're a tough defense, I thought. Like, they were getting after the quarterback left, right, and center all day, all morning yesterday.
Right.
And so you have to consider that game as well, even though it was a loss. Like, Drake May's performing really, really, really well.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I think he's doing everything that you're asking him to do. Shime's right. You're putting him in a position where he can utilize his legs, especially in the red zone, whether it's off bootlegs or nakeds or things like that, where he has a two-way goal if no one's there, tucking and run. I just think, like, you know, the parity now in the NFL is, I think, is
more than ever.
Yeah, it's so pretty cool.
So it's really, from your perspective, it's as Curtis said, it hasn't been like this. There hasn't been this much parity in a while.
No, I mean, think about it. Like,
look at the Panthers. They shut out the Falcons last week.
Right.
They give up 42 points this week. The Falcons, who were shut out by the Panthers, win this week. Like, there's really no rhyme or reason, it seems, through
and,
four games.
And I'm going to ask Vrabel that. Like, when I played, it was New England dominated the AFC. Like, it was really difficult to be able to beat New England, and you knew every year that was the team that it was going to be hard to beat them. When you look at this AFC, and I'll just keep it in the AFC because that's where New England is, what team scares you and says, that team is going to be, even if we play our best game, we're not going to be able to beat them?
If Buffalo plays,
I would have said Buffalo.
If Buffalo plays well this weekend, I don't think the Patriots can win.
But see, the thing is, they have to play well, right? Where New England could roll the ball out there before, not play well, and you're going to lose. Where I think when you look at Buffalo and you look at this team, if you're able to slow down that offense, which doesn't have like a ton of offensive, like, firepower and weapons at the wide receiver position, you could beat that Buffalo Bills team. Where
Twitch chat is already telling you to slow down. You got to pump the brakes.
Saying New England's going to beat them. I'm just saying, when I look at the AFC, Buffalo is not what New England used to be, or they're not even, in my opinion, what KC was a few years ago when they had complete dominance of the AFC. I think they're a good team. I think they're the best. Don't get it wrong. I think they're the best team in the AFC. But they're not, like, miles ahead of everybody else. They have, you know, probably the best player in Josh Allen, but their team is not miles ahead of everybody. Like, they don't have a great coach. Their defense can be hit or miss at times. So I think that's what I'm saying when I look at the AFC, that you sit here and you go, all right, we have a chance, maybe not to win a Super Bowl.
And you're saying Josh Allen, best player in the AFC, not Patrick Mahomes, best player in the AFC.
I would say Josh Allen right now, and, you know, maybe Lamar's nipping at his heels. But, yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the face of the NFL, but Josh Allen is obviously playing the best right now.
Through four games, Drake May's having a better season than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, Josh Allen to me is at the peak of his power. He's the MVP this year, just like he was last year. And if the Bills play well, the Patriots will lose. But I do, Shime, would love the anytime touchdown odds for Steph Diggs, because they're going to get him a touchdown Sunday night in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Just book it.
100-yard game for him yesterday and a couple key moments. And so maybe the two of them are finding their rhythm, whatever.
Weird answer from him after the game, though. When they asked about how comfortable he is in the offense, he said he's a 5 out of 10. So I'll be interested to know from Mike Vrabel, like, what is that? Is that just how he's playing with his teammates, his comfortability with Drake May, or is it just how he's feeling coming back from injury? He's still not at a 10 yet. But, like, because Drake was asked about Steph, he said it's nice to see him getting more and more comfortable, which I thought was interesting. But then to hear Steph Diggs say he's a 5 out of 10.
Maybe that's his role in the offense, but that's who he is, right? Like, Steph Diggs is a possession receiver. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. He's not somebody that's going to go out there and defensively, teams are going to be like, all right, we need to double this guy. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and goes off and kills the defense. He's a guy that is a very good possession receiver. He's a guy that he's showing he's got good hands. He can make the tough catches. But he's not, we were sitting there watching the Pittsburgh Vikings game. He's not catching a bang eight like DK Metcalf and going 80 yards.
Yeah. That was just awesome, by the way.
Yeah. And I thought it was really impressive that Greg diagnosed the bang eight live. Really.
While eating bangers mash.
while I was enjoying the Irish nachos at Lincoln yesterday. I do want to thank everybody who came out for our Jameson brunch yesterday.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, James is just getting old right before our eyes. Active, engaged, running around the place, having conversations. He's like a real human being.
Oh, there
being.
He is.
He's a real human being. Yeah. There he is.
It was awesome. You guys are all so kind, and it was so much fun. Honestly, it was a great... I was thinking we were walking back, and how we're going to be in Rhode Island this weekend. You guys were together Saturday for Ty's event.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's just like, it feels just relaxing. Like, it's so uncommon to have people you work with
that you like
and to go out and have a nice, you don't like fake it like some shows, you know,
yeah.
Or another one where they don't even talk to each other. One guy's getting medevac from Nantucket. But yeah, it was a great time. I had a blast, and the food was awesome. James was the best age right now, I would say.
I got to tell you something. The Irish nachos, which we talked about on the show beforehand, what they were going to be, they weren't quite potato chips. They were like slivers of potato.
That were crisped.
That had been crisped.
Yes.
But then they had, you had the creme fraiche.
Yep.
You had the cheese.
Some type of aioli on it.
And then you had corned beef, I think, and some bacon in there. It was really
good.
I tried one. It was fantastic.
It was delicious.
Wiggy, to be clear, because they are all over you, some are all over you in the Twitch chat.
Yep.
You're not suggesting that the New England Patriots, after this win yesterday, are on par, same level as the Buffalo Bills.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just
saying,
you
gotta clear it up for Game Dog and others.
No, that's fine. What up, Twitch? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you look at the AFC, Buffalo is the best team, my opinion, but they're not so far ahead of everybody else. And if you were to say they're the best team, I don't know who would be second, is what I'm saying, is that the AFC is wide open. The parity there is, I thought it was Baltimore, but I don't know. Baltimore didn't look great against the Kansas City team that
so bad in that game.
Yeah, it's like Kansas City, don't get it wrong. Like, you got Patrick Mahomes, but they're not a team that's been lighting the world on fire. Then you bring up the Chargers. I know they had some injuries, but, the Chargers didn't look great. I thought Cleveland would, their defense is good, but their offense stinks. Pittsburgh, you never know what's going to happen with Pittsburgh. I just don't think there's a team that, you go like, oh, they dominate after Buffalo.
Well, you said it. You're going to be able to ask Mike Vrabel about the parity in the league and everything else. Mike Vrabel will join us in about 15 minutes here on a Patriots Monday from Gillette Stadium. In the meantime, rivalry renewed. Sox-Yankees, Curtis. Oh. And that three-game series gets underway tomorrow night. Ooh. Yankee Stadium, and the Red Sox down there this season are 5-2. So the Red Sox have had their number a bunch of times this season, and so seems like a very winnable wild card series for the Boston Red Sox.
And the Patriots, the Red Sox are underdogs in game one with Crochet on the mound. I feel like that's pretty good investment opportunity. Obviously, Freed's a great pitcher for the Yankees, but I am so pumped. It's going to be an awesome. I've never seen a team in this playoff format. It was only the one game playing in 2021. So all the games will be at Yankee Stadium. But if they win two out of three, they'll be taking on the Jays.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot to talk about and valiant effort by the U.S. team in the Ryder Cup yesterday, which I thought was great television. But Wiggy didn't watch a shot because he doesn't like it. But I really enjoyed that near comeback yesterday afternoon.
I was nervous watching it, which is not that common these days. Ever since my Whoopi retired, like, I don't get that emotionally invested unless BC kicks me in the nuts like they did Saturday. But Sunday, the stakes. You're alone on a tee box in one of the most difficult courses in America, with the hopes of a nation on your shoulders. You can't have it. You have to win each hole.
Yeah.
And these guys in their 20s are I would be shime against you.
Oh, Curtis, that shot by Russell Henley out of the bunker was
one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
It was, but the nerves got to him off the tee. I mean, he splayed that thing left like you did. But Cameron Young making that putt, like, as a rookie,
he should have played more in the foursomes. Like, I don't know why he didn't play in the opening set of foursomes. It was disappointing.
Yeah, and he was honestly awesome. I mean, do you think Keegan Bradley should have had himself play? Like, I appreciate that.
So I don't even know that it's have himself play, but like, why are we rolling out Harris English, Colin Morikawa not once but twice? Like, that I think, like, Data Golf said it was the 132nd out of the 132nd ranked possible pair they could have put out.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like we got screwed on the withdrawal. Like, I don't.
Can you explain that to me? Because...
Yeah. So so you end up in other play country v like the Sondheim Cup or whatever. If your guy has to withdraw because of an injury, the other team gets the point on the match. Ryder Cup, it's only happened twice or something, but they split, so it was a half point and a half point. That's not fair. That because Victor gets hurt and can't play, that's not the fault of the United States of America. That's on the Euros.
So what would preclude, let's say the Americans have a golfer that's just trash, and he's going to be partaking in the singles like they all do, because all members of the team do.
And you tell him fake an injury,
then
we can split.
Wait until the matches are set up, and so whoever has Rory, whoever has the most impressive opponent from the other side, you just say I can't play.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Europeans were just so much better. Like, it was Scheim, it was putting. I mean,
they putted the lights out, Greg. You're 100% right.
They had 8 out of the 9 best, like, if you include the Ryder Cup, eight of the 9 best putters in the game and on that team, and they just...
I think it was Saturday afternoon, like, when the crowds were really getting to Rory, Shane Lowry was just sinking every big putt he needed to, and that just kept them up the entire time.
What hole was it yesterday where Rory, like, looked at the crowd and made, like, a really big celebration where
everyone,
he was, like, puffing
his chest?
But there was one in particular. He's, like, screaming at the crowd, puffing his chest. I was like, all right.
He lost, too. Yeah, that was my favorite part.
He did.
Oh, USA got to step their game up against the Euros.
Was there anything more on brand than Lowry winning it for the Europeans and within 30 seconds spotted having a Magner cider?
Nothing. So you got to wait till next year. Is that the thing? Is the
no, 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. All right.
2 years.
In Ireland.
And it will be, it's in Ireland.
All right. Well, circle back in 2 years. Yeah. Great golf talk.
All right. Well, we have a lot to get to. And as I mentioned, that includes Mike Vrabel, who will join us here this morning at Gillette in about 10 minutes, and then we'll get to our leads at 7. They set it at 7:20, and we will definitely hear what Rory McIlroy said about the vile verbal violence that was directed at he and his fellow Euros at Bethpage over the weekend. Boomer Esiason will join us at 8 on today's show. News with Courtney coming up at 8:20. And that includes an irrational fear today. What happened during an aggressive yawn that almost took someone's life in England, and Hill Notes at 9:20 on this morning show. And you can leave a voicemail message for us on any topic of any kind on the Odyssey app at any time, and we will play the best ones back. Coming up at about 9:20 this morning, right now, to get us started, here is Courtney and what is trending first thing this morning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots take down the Panthers in an ass-kicking 42-13, the final at Gillette. Drake May completed 14 of 17 passes for 203 yards and two touchdowns, rushing in for a third. No turnovers in this one. We're going to talk to Mike Vrabel about everything that happened yesterday this morning at 6:30 a.m. on this Patriots Monday. Sunday Night Football ended in a 40-40 tie between the Packers and Cowboys. And at halftime, we got the big announcement for the Super Bowl halftime show this year. Bad Bunny is the guy. Bit of a letdown.
It's a letdown for you.
Yeah, he's a great performer. It's just, I'm not good at speaking Spanish. That's a me problem. Yeah. I understand that.
Well, people, you say your greeting to people is Buenos Aires.
Correct. Yeah.
I do like reggaeton, though. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I don't understand the saying, but I do like the reggaeton.
The beats are very, very good, and he does a lot of collabs, so I guess we're gonna get some people that'll probably come out with him. The Chiefs take down the Ravens 37-20. Baltimore lost more than just the game. Lamar Jackson went out with a hamstring strain. He will have further evaluations done today. Monday night sees the Jets and Dolphins at 7:15 and Bengals at Broncos at 8:15. The Red Sox clinched a wild card spot on Friday night and then went on to drop Saturday's matchup with the Tigers and win last night's 4-3. That score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. So we've got a rivalry to kick off October baseball tomorrow. The Sox will take on the Yankees in the Bronx. And after a terrible showing from the U.S. at the Ryder Cup this weekend, yesterday we had a what? Excuse me.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm very, very sorry.
A little heartburn, or are we getting kicking yet?
No. This week I'm supposed to start feeling flutters though.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
Wednesday I'll be 16 weeks. Oh. They say flutters start.
Okay.
Exciting. <All right. laughs>
I felt flutters after the Irish nachos yesterday.
Yes. That was gas.
Down in that same area.
Yeah. Yesterday we had a wild comeback from the U.S., but they were unable to close it as Shane Lowry delivered the crucial half point to retain the trophy. Tyrell Hatton had added another half point in the preultimate match to ensure the outright 15-13 victory. And some big Celtics news yesterday as Al Horford is headed to Golden State, verbally committing to a multi-year contract with the Warriors, according to his agent.
Did you see Grandy's tweet yesterday?
No.
They need to retire 42. Like,
to the rafters, he said.
Come on.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
No.
He's beloved, though.
So then retire Scal's number.
Right.
I'm surprised they haven't.
Yeah.
Nah, you can't do that.
No. Lou Maloney would quit.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I will say long. I think this is his 19th season.
Yeah.
So long career for Al Horford.
Yeah.
And but I don't think he's worthy of,
no,
being up there.
God,
what
no.
about a tribute video?
I love a tribute video.
Okay. Yeah, right. Give him that.
Yes. There we go. Yes. That's what's trending. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium after a big Patriots win yesterday. They get to 2-2 on the season, and everything cooking for the New England Patriots yesterday. So offense and defense, minus that first drive, a little bit of a slow start, and special teams. And we're about to speak with the head coach of the New England Patriots, who is joining us right now momentarily. Oh my Lord. Hold on.
Oh.
He's walking in with a gift.
Thank
Look
you.
At this.
All
He's
right.
got a gift for Courtney, obviously, because of the impending, bundle of joy that is. Hold on. We got to get you on the microphone for this, coach. Mike Vrabel.
Thank you.
Mike Vrabel is brought to you on a Patriots Monday by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual issues of men, with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow. And by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. Good morning, Coach. Good
morning.
What do we got over here? Are we opening this on air?
Oh.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Right. That chews up some of our time.
You'd rather that than the questions.
Nice.
Oh, look at that. All right.
It's all good questions today.
Very nice.
That is very, very nice.
Very nice.
I'm very emotional right now. So.
Don't cry. It's got to be a onesie.
Well,
I hope so.
For Greg or for... Right.
It's, it's a
side
Vrabel
football.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
All right, Coach. I mean, really.
Good job.
This is
bribery at its finest.
Yeah, I know. There's a little baby Vrabel jersey down there somewhere, too.
Oh, my gosh. That is very, very nice.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's very kind.
As you were walking in, we were talking about all facets of the game. Everything looking good and much better result than the week before.
If you can take care of the ball, get some explosive in the return game, and get some stops defensively, I think that's what we're capable of doing.
Mike, you brought up getting some stops and explosive in the return game. Other than that one series where Carolina had their opening drive, that punt return, was that something that like sparked the team, or was it just?
Well, I mean, I think that's what we've talked about. It just takes one play, and I think that's continued to be the message, that it's, whether it's in Miami and we hit one down the sidelines and gets us going with a big play, or on punt return, or maybe defense, there's an interception. But it just takes one play to get this thing back going, and that's what we have to look forward to in the games when it's not going great or it's a close game, what have you, that you just keep, plugging away, and then it just takes one play for this thing to break open.
You didn't. I don't think I saw you running up the sideline on either one of them yesterday. Is that you got away from that?
Well, that's not good for the Achilles.
When it comes to lack of turnovers, that's something that's plagued you guys for the start of the season. None yesterday. What changed in practice, if anything? What do you guys focus on in practice, if anything, to
ensure
that?
Well, we focus on it all the time. I think it's just taking care of the football, using great technique, and understanding that everybody else has a role to play as well. They have to protect the guy with the ball, so quarterback's got to make good decisions, and everybody that has it, that's not theirs. It's they're only protecting it for the play, and then it goes to somebody else. So we have to continue to do that. That has to be a focal point. It's just critical in this league.
So you didn't have Ramondre walk around with a football. Ty Law said that's what he used to have to do.
Ty Law was a DB. So
no, but he used to say that that's what all the guys used to do.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they don't get hit. Again, I've heard that, but they're not getting hit.
That's what he did.
And there are people coming in and hitting them. So we just want to try to do it, practice it and make sure that it's done with good ball security, that we have two in traffic, and that everybody else is doing their job. So, there's a lot of ways to do it.
Mike, you talk about ball security, and it is interesting because when you get into that mode of maybe you fumble a couple times, sometimes you'll put two hands on and you'll over-secure it, which takes away from maybe your ability to run after catch or hit holes. How do you make sure that you balance the ball security, but still being an aggressive runner?
I think that's obviously what the balance is, and we needed to put the fire out this week, so we were able to create some explosives. And but you're right, you can't just sit there and run through with two hands on the football and crouched over on it and gain 3 yards. So, but you also have to take care of it. And I think it was important for us to put the fire out and like you said, continue to still be aggressive with the football in our hands and be able to make yards after the catch or the run.
Do you think Drake May is ahead of schedule, about where you thought he'd be through 4 weeks?
I really didn't have a timetable. I'm not really sure. We're just trying to throw the guy that's open as soon as he is in the progression and then take care of the football. And when he's not there, use his legs. And I think he's done that at times, and we'll continue to work on it.
Do you see a comp between him and Josh Allen? That was the big sort of...
No, I'm not big into comparisons. I think you guys know that by now. But if not, we'll keep reminding you, not big into comparisons.
Steph Diggs said that his comfortability within the offense is a 5 out of 10 right now. Is that just how he feels?
Then he should study more.
Okay.
I love this you, by the way. This is like, let's go.
Five out of ten.
Let's go get him. We need to get going.
I'll have to talk to Steph today.
You got to know the playbook inside and out.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Five out of ten. I went to Ohio State. It's failing.
Yeah, that's not good.
I just didn't know if it was him feeling comfortable coming back from injury or if it was how he felt with Drake or within the offense. I didn't know.
We'll have to clarify what part of it is 50%. We'll have to have a winning effort physically, mentally, and whatever the third one was. Yeah. We'll have to bump it up a little bit here to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think the third one's emotionally.
Emotionally. We need to be better in all three phases then, because that's not good enough.
Mike, what was the difference after the first series defensively, adjustment-wise, that you made against...
You know what I mean? Trying to disguise a little bit and just, you know, get our eyes in the right place. They're moving guys and motioning and flashing them after the snap. And, you know, that was, you know, then we pick each other. You know what I mean? Got the weak side bunch formation that we've seen for pretty much since we started practicing football. And we run into each other. So... I thought when we settled down, I thought just the being able to hold the disguise, they were trying to motion and shift and do different things. And we just needed to settle down and relax and play football and fit where we're supposed to fit, push the pocket and not let the quarterback scramble, extend plays, which I thought that was good. He had a lot of just third down conversions just by scrambling. That can be deflating. Well, that'll be huge this week, obviously, coming up. So. Did a lot of those things well.
You said you spent a couple hours watching film this week on the Carolina kickoffs. You like when it comes to the rule change, the offense, the way that that's creating offense opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, it does. It's created a play. It's also, you know, you see some of these kickers and the different style of kick that they may want to hit. It knuckles and lands and skips. And again,
the dirty kick, as you called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so we fielded that one well. We got it to the 40. You know, they called Dell 40 yards from the ball. He kind of, you know, got run over. And in that instance, sometimes they call that holding. But again, it's 40 yards from where the football was. So it's disappointing. But I'm trying to say, hey, we fielded it well. Everything we practiced, and we didn't look ridiculous with the ball skipping and bouncing all over the place and being inside the 10-yard line. Got it out to the 40, but then obviously the penalty on all those returns really just killed those yardage.
What makes Josh Allen such a tough guy to defend?
Oh, I mean, he's big, he's athletic, he's strong, he's stiff arms. He's good. Obviously, he can play quarterback, but then he plays running back, and just a great athlete, great competitor, a great play strength. You know, it'll be a huge challenge just to defend him and make sure that. That one, we are aggressive when we pass rush, and when we do that, you know, we're not loose and in those scramble plays out to the right and be ready to defend the stiff arm.
You know, it's interesting to bring up the pass rush. Like, when you're going against a guy like that, how much is really being, you know, gap discipline versus, excuse me, trying to go get him because he can make so many plays and almost like, keep him in the pocket, you know.
There's a balance.
Yeah,
there's a balance there to some of these athletes, and you know, you have to be able to go rush and try to affect them, and then also maybe build in. And then again, we want it to be relentless and coordinated. I think that's something that we talk about is you have to be coordinated, but also relentless in the pass rush and not really just stand there. That's not going to do anything either.
Hunter Henry had a great game yesterday. Has he become the leader in this locker room?
I don't think he's the only leader. I think he's certainly, you know, a leader. He's a veteran player who's had success that's very consistent. So I think, you know, that would help him to be a leader. So I think he's one of them and gotten off to a good start.
One of the areas that, you know, I think we all had concern coming into the season this year was the offensive line. And it looks like, you know, they're doing a tremendous job. I know I thought I saw Wilson wasn't in at left guard. I don't know if there's an injury thing, but talk about the offensive line and what they've been able to do when it comes not only protecting Drake May, but obviously what they do in the run game, what they've been able to do through the first four games.
Yeah, Ben stepped in for Jared, and Ben's been, you know, working extremely hard. He's worked at center and guard throughout camp and played a little bit last year for the Patriots, and so He stepped right in. I thought he played well. I thought he played great play demeanor, great push, and the ability to protect, you know, and some of these sacks are a little misleading. You know, that just goes in as a sack, and then you go back and watch him. You're like, oh, Drake scrambled and ran out of bounds for no gain, and that's a sack.
Right.
So again, but there's other ones, and so I don't get too caught up in that. But you know, as long as we're trying to create a good pocket, you know, when we are behind. You know, when we're not moving the launch point, that's firm in the middle, and that we're able to run the edge guys by, and that we're not getting beat inside or we're not loose inside, because then the quarterback and the timing gets broken down, and they have to, you know, step and avoid, and now their eye sometimes goes down, doesn't stay on the receiver or the routes. And so when we can do that, which they have, and again, they're working extremely hard, you know, on third down, there's games every week, there's loaded fronts, there's mug fronts, and guys are twisted, and you have to work with the guy next to you to protect them, because these guys are trying to come and pick, and you have to flatten out the penetrator. So those are things that they're working extremely hard on, and it's good to see some of that translate.
I used to be firm in the middle.
Okay.
How long we known this guy? Never been firm in the middle.
Yeah. He has a mugshot that does not look very firm in the middle.
We've seen this guy.
You teased the big parody question.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. But because as fans, I look at it and go, there's a lot of parody in the NFL. And I wonder, as a coach, do you kind of utilize that and saying, hey, listen, it's wide open. If we play the way we're supposed to play, we can play with anybody. I know, I feel like it was a little different when New England was successful back in the days. It was very difficult to beat them, and they seemed like they were ahead of everybody else. But I don't see a team like that in the NFL, and I wonder if that's a message that you give to the players at times.
Well, the message is that you have to play good to give yourself a chance to win, and if you play bad, you're guaranteed to lose. That's the message. And we believe that we can play with anybody when we do the things the right way, and play to our identity and play complimentary and all those things. So, you know, that's the National Football League. I don't think that's any surprise on how you try to win. And going on the road is going to be even more difficult to handle in that environment, and being able to operate offensively in that environment.
All right, Coach. Get to talk to Mark Wahlberg at all yesterday?
Nope.
No.
I did not see that. No, we didn't cross paths.
All right.
Top three favorite Wahlberg films before you go?
Departed count.
Yeah.
Departed.
There
fantastic.
You go.
That definitely counts.
Do you prefer The Departed over The Town, or do you think The Town is a
point flip?
Point flip on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, on with us every single Monday. And brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. We'll be right back from Gillette.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stadium. It is Patriots Monday all day here at WEEI. We are at Gillette Stadium, and after a big win for the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel all business with us this morning.
Wow.
All business. I like it, though. I like that approach. And you don't want to get too high after a win. And you don't want to get too low after a loss.
And you should always keep us humble. It's like, let me just say this before I get like dragged by anybody. Like, yes, thank you. I know what position Ty Law played. We talk about it every week with him. I was with him on Saturday.
Yes.
When you're just having a conversation, I should have phrased it differently, and he called me on it, and that was good.
Yeah.
But like,
Well, I mean, he was the man. He's ready to get back to work. I mean, not a lot of pleasantries. No, but I like it.
A big one against Buffalo this weekend.
I was anticipating, because it's our first four interviews with Mike Vrabel, the regular season, and after their first win, we had victory shots. He was in a really joyous mood.
Yeah.
And this was a much bigger win. I mean, you win by 40 points as opposed to winning by whatever it was, 5 with the Dolphins. And he was, woof.
Yeah. Well, he sees business. Who's around the corner.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And immediately after the win yesterday, like when he was talking to media, the first thing he said was like, we're on to Buffalo and that's going to be a hard one. So, I mean, that's...
I like it.
Yeah,
I
like it. I'd rather that than Gerard being, you know... Very happy, win or lose.
I mean, I could have gone on and on and on about Wahlberg films.
Oh yeah,
as could you.
Yeah, me too as well.
I mean, I think Fear should be on the
definitely
on the list.
Boogie Nights.
I happen to really like Invincible. I know a lot of people don't like the Vince Papale story, but
I liked it.
But I happen to like that movie. I like, is it Shooter?
Yeah.
The
where
one
he's
where,
like a sniper in the military.
Yes, I like that movie a lot. He's got some good films.
Well, I even like the first Ted was funny. He's kind of, you know, you don't like Ted?
No, it's very good. It just was such a jump.
Well, because like I'll give Mark Wahlberg credit. That's like he can do the serious, like, I'm not huge on like his serious movies. Like, what was the father, the priest movie he had?
Oh yeah.
Like,
Greg and I saw that together.
I like
we him. All did. We went to. Oh, but he didn't go.
No, I didn't go with you guys. I like him in his, you know, his action roles and his comedy roles. So he has a little, and he does a little bit of drama. The one Daddy's Home was pretty funny. So
Instant Family was good.
Yeah, he does a lot of that stuff. So I give Wahlberg credit.
He was to me in The Departed. He was by far the best. His character, like the way that he was all over Leo as the, like, you know, drop your R's in the weekend, like just excellent. For me, that's his best performance.
How can you not love Jack Nicholson?
Though? Yeah, he's so good
in that movie.
It's just his girlfriend's Boston accent was so bad it made me cringe every time they were on the scene.
And Leo, the town is good, but I think
The Town's a better movie.
I think that the reason why I go Departed.
Curtis will never give up on that. He always goes Town.
So do I.
Departed.
It's just a better put together movie, and Slaying a Personal Friend.
So you're biased. Like, maybe I lean more towards it because I'm a massive Leo fan and the star power. And like you said, Jack was when he throws the cocaine and he.
Oh, when he's screaming the call off the tail. When they're going over the Sacum Bridge. I do like that.
And Leo's like, you know, he was tremendous in it too.
The language in that movie is so bad, though. Forget.
It happens all over the place in movies.
The language in The Departed is on another level.
World? Really?
We just watched it a week ago.
The Town? I mean.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Django?
I haven't.
Or any one of Quentin Tarantino's movies?
I'm just saying The Departed has some words that are absolutely no-goes, and they are strong on them. Jeez.
It's a movie. There's always a go in the movie.
No, I like gasp every time.
Do you do this like when there's bad language so your baby doesn't hear it?
Yeah, I say, oh, earmuffs.
Well, then don't watch a Quentin Tarantino movie.
I've seen a Quentin Tarantino.
All right. Anyway, we are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Coming up, we will get to They Said It at 7:20, and we will certainly hear what Rory McIlroy said about the verbal violence that was directed at he and his fellow Euros at Bethpage this weekend during the Ryder Cup, among other things. And then at 8, Boomer Esiason on This Week in the NFL. But right now, we got to get started with this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Yeah. Todos están pendientes a ti, pero tú puesta pa' mí. Haciendo que me odien más, porque todos te quieren probar. Lo que no saben es que no te dejas llevar de cualquiera. Y todos te quieren probar. Lo que no saben es que hoy yo te voy a buscar.
Well, Shime, I'm guessing, because I don't know, that is Bad Bunny.
Featuring Drake.
With Drake. It used to be Courtney's hall pass. I mean, now that you're a mom, you can't have a hall pass.
Absolutely
anymore.
Not. That's false.
Nope. That's sorry.
Talina. You are Talina, as you talk about it every week.
It's over.
And sorry, she is a mom of three.
Once you hit momhood, it is over.
I think momhood it ratchets up.
Yeah, we call it milfhood. Thank you.
Bingo.
Milfhood.
Really? All right. Yeah.
Rebrand.
You're entering your MILF.
My MILF era.
MILF era.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want to be the hot mom.
Yes, right. You do. Okay. Now that I have a son,
exactly.
The pressure's on.
Cool mom.
Bad Bunny has been chosen, in case you missed us talking about it or you missed the game last night. For the halftime show.
What a song. Wow, I can't wait.
That's one of his
At least it's got
too.
A good beat.
It does.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. But the whole halftime show, I know.
That's why I was surprised with the choice.
It's
going
to have to be a lot of features.
Will they have subtitles?
No, they won't have subtitles.
I mean, you can just turn on closed captions, can't you?
Yes, you can.
Claudio KC.
Yes, you can. Leads are brought to you this morning by Subaru of New England, and wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive-away event. It is going on right now, and you can learn more when you go to SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Greg, good morning. Real simple lead for me today. It's Drake May, of course. This from Nate Tice, the son of Wiggy's old coach Mike Tice. Drake May leads all quarterbacks in drop back success rate this season. That's number one in the entire NFL in drop back success rate. The Patriots Communications also tweeted this out. Drake May has now joined Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen as the only players in NFL history to record 135-plus passer rating, one rushing touchdown, and one passing touchdown in multiple games in one season, and we're only four games into the season. This is kind of why I love Drake May so much. Is I understand that there's the turnovers and there's the moments like, dude, what on earth are you doing? But when he is at his peak, he can be one of the elite quarterbacks in football. And so it just becomes, over time, a process of limiting those dumb mistakes and making him more conscious of it and making him more aware of the situation and what to do with the football and continuing to improve on those peaks and continue to help him rise. And I think that's what you see. And I understand that in some of the games that he's done this against Miami and against Carolina, not necessarily a murderer's row of defenses, but you know what? You have to start somewhere. This is that. You're seeing that start, and I'm so excited to see where the rest of it goes.
All right, and doing that with the offensive line, which we had a lot of questions about heading into the season.
The offensive line has been awesome. Even when Ben Brown stepping in for Jared Wilson, it felt very seamless yesterday.
Who would you compare Drake May to?
I don't do comparisons.
Oh, you know that. Yeah.
I've told you that.
Stay away from that.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday, and we'll be right back with the rest of this morning's leads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.